Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, many people collect things, and a lot of them are what you might expect, stamps or antiques or fridge magnets. So where does the urge to collect things come from? And why does the independent columnist Roz D own 44 copies of The Great Gatsby? She joins us now to explain herself. Afternoon, Roz.
Afternoon, Sean.
So did The Great Gatsby, the book itself, make some sort of profound influence on you, effect on you when you were younger?
I think so. When I was a teenager and first read it and was just, I think, the beauty of the writing. And also I think that the thing that's always struck with me about Gatsby himself, about Jay Gatsby, I mean, obviously a very flawed individual, et cetera, a complete fraudster, if truth be told, but he has an extraordinary capacity for hope throughout the book. And I think that's something that's just always stayed with me. And I mean, I didn't really start collecting them properly, and it's probably about 20 odd years now. And it's not, it is the book itself, obviously, but it's the, you know, it's when you lay them all down on the floor, all the paperbacks, and you see all the different covers and the different artwork and the different people that have, you know, contributed to each edition. I think that's all. I think the visual thing is part of it as well as the actual book and the words inside.
Mm, that's, I suppose that's an interesting thing, because if it's a book that you really love and you've, I assume, read it more than once, that you're looking at
every summer.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, then God knows how many times. So you can look at covers of different editions of it and see how the decision to put a particular cover on the book or the illustration or the photograph or whatever is what they think the book is about. So are you looking at wildly different interpretations of the same book?
It's really interesting. I mean, some of the cheapo ones that I've bought in various places are, be they in English. I mean, I have a few that are in, God, languages I don't even have a clue about, you know. Chinese, for example, bought in Beijing a few years ago. But yeah, I mean, some of them are quite like, what you know, almost say pulpy, rather garish in your face, cheapo covers. In fact, I bought one like that. It was the only one I could find when I was in Warsaw last year. And I bought a Polish one, and it was cheap as chips, you know. And I just quite liked it because it was different. But when I showed it to the lovely young man who had been doing a walking tour with me for the day, he was really appalled that this was going to be my Polish representation of it. And dear love him, when I met him the next day to have a coffee and to thank him for being such a great guide and to say goodbye, he produced from his little briefcase a gorgeous hardback, quite classy edition of The Great Gatsby in Polish. And I was so touched. But it was partly that he didn't want Poland to be represented in Great Gatsby terms in this kind of absolutely desperate-looking yoke of a cover.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, yeah.
Because the same story, if you just related the a precis of The Great Gatsby, you could kind of present it as a kind of a steamy potboiler kind of a story.
Well, you could.
Yeah.
You could. You could indeed. Yeah,
Lies and death and drink and sex. It's, you know, got it all.
Yeah, and hope, Sean, and hope.
you also collect stones, Roz.
I do, yeah. I mean, nothing that I collect is worth a damn, you know, in terms of monetary terms. I mean, the peg for me writing this thing last week in my column for The Independent was because Sylvester Stallone is a fierce collector of very seriously expensive watches, and he has an auction coming up. And I have a few friends who collect watches, and I just don't really get it. But I mean, one of his watches, for example, one of those Patek Philippe, I think it's a Patek Philippe Grandmaster, I mean, it's likely to go for somewhere between $3 and $5 million.
Oh.
I mean, so my stones are certainly not in that league. They're stones that they're kind of like memory items, you know. I pick one up where I go certain places, and I just have them in my study in a little kind of, an increasing circle. And when I look at them, you know, I remember, oh, that's the one I picked up in Auschwitz. As it happens to be a deeply dark black stone, which is somehow appropriate. I have a beautiful one from a visit many, many years ago. When I was traveling a lot more, whatever, in Petra. I have a little kind of a pebbly piece from the Great Wall of China, but I also have, you know, they're not all from far-flung places, Sean. You know, I have one from, you know, Glendalough, when we all stood around a very sad occasion when my friend's son had died and we scattered his ashes about nearly 30 years ago. I have that still. And I have one from the beach of my childhood beach in Port Stewart in County Derry, you know, where I used to walk with my dad week in, week out. So I suppose there's happy stones and sad stones, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And can you remember, you know, where all the stones are from and the associations
I write on the bottom of them. No, they don't always. I mean, the older ones, it's kind of worn off and whatever. But I think my dad was a great, my late father now died nearly 9 years ago, but he was in his 90s, you know. But he always told me the story, because I used to ask about a little stone. He had this tiny little stone that used to sit on the windowsill in his garage. When I was very young, I wasn't really interested. And then I remember asking him one day, and it was a small pebble of a stone that he was in the Air Force during the war, and he was in North Africa for all of the war. And he happened to be on leave in Tripoli, in, you know, what's now Libya, obviously, on the day when victory in Europe was declared. Huh. And he was there that day on May 1945, I think. He picked up a little pebble from the beach in Tripoli, and he brought that home he didn't get home, he wasn't demobbed in 1946. He brought that home and he kept that on his little shelf in the garage until the day he died in 2015.
That's lovely. Yeah. Roz, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Sean, thank you for having me on.
Roz Dee's column about that you can find in The Independent. Someone says, my friend collects anything duck-related. She's ornaments, cushions, mugs, blankets, rubber ducks, hundreds of them, pens, clothing, phone covers, etc. Cute, but also really weird. I collect notebooks. I have dozens and I've been gifted about 15 different ones down the years, but I can't write in any of them. They're too nice, so they just sit in a bookshelf.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.